This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hour number two, not an ideal day and about to get worse. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan with you. News Talk 830 WCC. Our friend Bell Jensen is back with us. Always a pleasure when Bell joins us. Bell, you'll check out her excellent work on Care 11 on a regular basis. How are you, my friend? Everything good?
Good. Just fine. Yeah, I mean, we're a little bit out of practice. We haven't had any storms this
That's
year
true.
Of any consequence. So it's March and it's tournament time. So let's go.
Now, are you buying, because we've had two straight years here with relatively light snow, do we have a pattern or is it way too early to say that?
Way too early to say that, yeah. I mean, we've gone in many times before having some low snow years and then having just a huge snow year. I mean, this pattern just set up where all the storms were to our south. And this one, this storm, was we've been watching this since last week. I'm sure of that, Chris Schaefer as well. This was showing up on the model last week that at some point in time during Tuesday and Wednesday, a storm was going to come through the upper Midwest. But until... I don't know, Saturday or Sunday, it was still to our south. And then this one has been migrating north. And then overnight, all the models kind of congealed with it migrating basically right over us, right over the metro. So that is why we went from nothing to a winter storm warning and south of us, the first blizzard warning in Minnesota in a couple of years, actually.
So realistically... By the time I'm having another conversation with someone tomorrow at about 1:10, what are we looking at?
Well, you know, I was just looking at the latest because we're kind of watching to see if there's going to be any kind of backtrack in what I saw last night at 10 and what Ben saw this morning. And now Jamie's there watching the fort. And all the models are congealing with somewhere between 6 to 10 inches of snow. But I do think that we're talking more of really a huge disparity between the northwest suburbs and the southeast suburbs. And so when it's all said and done, I think 4 to 8 looks really reasonable across the metro. So depending on where you live, more Dakota County, less in Wright County, quite a bit less. In fact, like St. Cloud might only see an inch of snow. And then you get into the middle of the city and we're talking 5-6 inches and you get down toward Hastings and Prescott and Stillwater and, you know, south, let's say Lakeville, and possibly 8 inches. Really wet, heavy snow.
Will everybody face the 30 to 40 to maybe even 50 mile per hour winds?
Yeah. It's a doozy. It's a storm coming out of Colorado. We haven't had any of these big Colorado lows. These are our biggest storms. You know, the clippers that bring 1 to 2 inches, 3 inches. And all the snow we've had this season, which obviously hasn't been a lot, has been really light and fluffy, like really light and fluffy, almost like you'd see in Colorado or Utah. This is going to be typical March snow. So tons of water content, hard to move around. So it would be a lot worse if it was colder and it was light and fluffy. There would be a lot of blowing and drifting and a lot of visibility issues because it's going to be so heavy. The visibility will come as it's coming down late tonight through tomorrow morning. Then things will get better at that point. The winds will start to die down. I was just looking to see what the blizzard warning is out through Wednesday at 3, but I think that's kind of pushing it. I think things will actually get better once the snow stops falling.
Belle Jensen with us talking about the talking about the storm coming. What has this winter weather done to the poop picking up at your house? Many. I'm not exaggerating. We've had many texters who've wondered how that was going.
Well, it's so for some reason still my job. I have no idea why. But I'm the one that does all the yard work once everything is dried up. So maybe I'm the one that doesn't want to deal with all the remnants.
They just assume full time.
We've had some time periods when the snow melted and we were able to get out there. I was able to get out there. And I had help once. And so we're doing pretty good. Of course, we only have one dog now too, though. So it's a little bit better. And, but it's still a nasty proposition.
Yeah, so many people can identify with it. Okay, do you have certain boots that you wear each time, or do you mix it up?
Oh, outside? Oh, you know what? Yeah. I made a fatal mistake, and I wore something that I shouldn't have worn, and now those are not in the house anymore. They live in the garage. Yeah, so now I'm got to order some new things. Yeah, I should just get some rubber boots or something. What am I thinking?
I don't think you want to go out there with your nice shoes in any way. That would not be a good decision. So I saw this. I want to ask you, this is a serious story, too, where among the many cuts by the Trump administration, 600 workers with the National Weather Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. 600 workers seems a lot to me as someone who doesn't know. I saw somebody we both know, Paul Douglas, on Twitter expressing some concerns about it. What's your feeling about that?
Yeah, I don't, I did see that as well. And I saw Paul's post, and I don't think that's a federal agency that you should be fooling with. I would say that the amount of meteorologists that they have at these stations, they need all of them. So hopefully, prior to severe weather season starting up, really any day, somebody will see that and there'll be some backtracking on that. There could be some research projects that they decide to put off, but nothing when it comes to daily forecasting and these people in these markets or these people at all of these National Weather Service offices across the country. That would be really a rash decision for sure. They need every single one of those people. I don't think that's been a good idea. I think some of the other stuff's been a good idea, but I don't think good idea. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to look at it. So am I right? Did you start a CARE in 93?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought how much longer you want to keep doing this?
I'm going to try to
some people
want to
do it for 50 years, right?
What, I'm going to get through the storm.
Yeah. Well, hey. But, I mean, do you think about it much? Do you think I just still enjoy it as much? Or?
Well, I have to say, on a short-term situation, this has been I was kind of happy to see the totals come up last night. Because we've been talking about it for days and we've had it on the radar basically for days. And so it isn't going to be a surprise to anybody. And we just haven't had a lot to forecast. So it's kind of exciting and fun to forecast something that's a little bit impactful. And because we just haven't had much this winter. So that's one thing that I'm not tired of. I really like winter storms versus, of course, severe weather. But absolutely. I'm thinking about it. And,
yep.
I mean, how many more state fairs can we get through? And, you know, you know, so, but, yeah. You know, it's, you know, depending on, I will be an empty nester in the fall. So that's something that, yeah. You know, David and I think about. Yeah. So it's,
right.
It's exciting does that, to think about.
Does that change the calculation for you? I mean, for some, it's like, I got to work more then. For others, like, okay, This gives us a chance to do different things.
Right. We get to do stuff. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of ready to launch. Our youngest, and that'll be exciting, and then we'll just kind of figure it out. It's not short term. I'm there for a while for sure, and yep. I'm happy to be there. It's been a really great 32 years there, and I was in Salt Lake City for 3 years before that. So this year I'm at 35 years that I've been trying to That's tackle amazing. This 7-day forecast.
Well. Somebody last hour attacked Dave Harrigan, the producer of this show, who you talked to. Would you want to maybe become the producer of the show if you step away from Care 11 maybe 5-10 years from now?
Please, please.
5-10 years from now, what are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. That's just unheard of. My goodness.
He's devastated, I can assure you. Are you off the ground, Dave? Have you removed yourself from the fetal position?
Yeah, no, I really haven't. It's going to be a couple weeks probably.
Did you take any good trips this year?
You know, I actually just got back yesterday. I just went away for a weekend down to beautiful Florida, Naples, Florida, nice. To see a good friend and soak in some sunshine and look at the beautiful flowers and see all the other Minnesotans down there too. And
I was going to say, and, half the people.
Yeah, right. Gustavus Baseball, where my son plays, is in spring training down in Tucson. So my husband will go watch some of those baseball games.
I'm an ASU grad. I just, come on, Tucson. Go to Tempe. Let's go, Gusta. I had a great friend of mine.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I don't know why.
Very disappointed. Very disappointed. I'm going to call somebody. I had a great friend of mine, and she gave me a Gustavus sweatshirt. And I would walk around ASU, and people say, where's this Gustavus? Where's this Gustavus? So I still just joke about Gustavus. I always enjoy... when we chat, I'm sure we'll be busy in the next 24 hours. Tell Dave I said hello. Maybe what Dave should do, my Dave here, Dave Harrigan, he for your appearances on the show, he should come over and help you pick up the poop at some point.
So helpful. I will pick a day. It'll be great. Yeah. We'll have a good time. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Because this snow is going to cover it all up again. It's going to be a problem. So. Ugh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, we need the moisture, so it's a good thing. We're well behind in snowpack. This will be a really dense snow, so be careful out there. It really kind of turns over between 6 and 7 tonight from rain to snow. So the rain will pick up, the winds will pick up, and then it'll turn over. So that's just one note if you're in the latter portion of the commute.
Thank you. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Chad.
Bell, tremendous as always, right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
During the break, Dave Harrigan, I'm on the Twitter machine, and I see, I look at just various tweets, and I see something trending, and I see Derek Chauvin is trending. So I click on it, and I see Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, very visible conservative, outspoken, as an example on Twitter. Ben Shapiro has 7.7 million followers. This is not just an isolated individual. I actually enjoy Ben Shapiro if he's on Mar, and Mar will push him, especially if there's a conservative on there. But Ben Shapiro is joining the parade in supporting Derek Chauvin and taking it so far that he has started PardonDerek.com. PardonDerek.com. Already 1.4 thousand retweets. I don't know how many supporting. But here we go again. This obviously is still a much debated issue in this town. This guy, from May of 2020, when he had done this before, and yeah, George Floyd, fake bill. George Floyd, legal issues in his past. George Floyd, resisting arrest. Wrong for every single one of those things. Everyone. But after a minute, after 2 minutes, after 3 minutes, after 4 minutes, after 5 minutes, after 6 minutes, after 7 minutes, after 9 minutes, take your knee off his throat. What a crazy concept for an officer. Again, this show destroyed Defund Police the day it was announced. Never once supported Defund Police. Overwhelming number of police officers are quality at what they do. Derek Chauvin, not one of them. And I'm tired of just seeing people turning Derek Chauvin into some hero. And again, this show never turned George Floyd into a hero either. I know some did. This show, me in particular, not one of those individuals, but he sure as hell was symbolic of people of color in this country who feel like they are treated different. And by the way, each case is unique in its own way. But the city of Minneapolis and its pattern and the Department of Justice stepped in for a reason. You've had how many different police officers and police chiefs who step in and try to correct some of the ways? And by the way, that doesn't mean every person of color who's arrested has been profiled. That's absurd. And you have people believe that. But again, Dave, PardonDerek.com. Now, why don't I even look right now? I would guess Liz Collin. And I follow Liz, and I go to Alpha News every day. Let's see. I don't think she's retweeted this yet. I would assume she will. Obviously, Liz Collin with the fall of Minneapolis in a book. And that suit that was taking place with Katie Blackwell. This has been a huge issue with Liz Collin. Fall of Minneapolis, what, millions of views? Generating conversation about it? Her husband, Bob Kroll, in the news again. They have not selected a U.S. Marshal for this state, right? I don't think so, have they?
I don't believe so.
Right? And his name has been mentioned. Because of what happened in his past, he cannot be in law enforcement. What were the three? Was it Hennepin, Ramsey, and Dakota? I'm trying to remember. But, you know, Bob Kroll, very prominent in his support of Donald Trump. Would you be shocked, Dave Aragon, if Donald Trump eventually pardons Derek Chauvin?
I can't say anything Donald Trump would do would shock me.
Yeah, it's probably the best way to say it.
Yeah, it's a less than 50%, I believe. I don't know how much less.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's much less, right? And, you know, he'll pay attention to Ben Shapiro. And it will depend on how much traction it gets, if it gets in front of him. But Derek Chauvin, we want to rally to police. We want to call out police. We want to have an honest conversation. We want to support police. And I want to support police. And when there's isolated incidents, I want to call them out. Derek Chauvin is not a person I'm going to rally behind. I'm not. I feel 100% comfortable in that assessment. Jamie Yuccas, after traffic and weather on CCO. Jamie is with us. She's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We were talking last night because hopefully we're going to see each other this weekend. And we talked a little bit about the fires. But I think when you have such a major story like this, and then you have another major story and another major story, that unless you're living in the area, it doesn't come up. And I don't blame people for that. You have your own life. You have your kids, you have your job, so it doesn't come up. If somebody was driving around L.A. right now, and in particular in the area, Jamie, where it was just devastated by the fires, what would they see?
Well, so, I mean, the interesting thing is, like, PCH, where the Palisades fire is, you still cannot drive. There's a huge section still shut down. So, you know, the impacts ripple in here in Los Angeles. So with having that shut down, I will just tell you traffic on the 405, the 101, some of the other freeways. There's an extra, I think I read the other day, up to 100,000 cars on those roadways that would normally use the PCH. So there's that. But I have driven in the fire zones. The Eden Fire area has been a little bit more, they've opened up things a little bit more, but, you know, it's devastating. Like I was talking actually with my colleague at CBS News, Jonathan Vigliotti, about that this weekend. You know, my husband was there and Jonathan and I have both been in the fire zones and just how devastating it is. And yep. Where things have, everything, little things too, like the grocery store is gone, the little mom and pop shop, the cafe that, you know, we used to eat at, all that stuff just gone. You know, and my husband said to Jonathan, like, oh, part of me wants to see it and part of me doesn't. And Jonathan looked right at him and said, you don't want to see it. You just don't. It's, you think about just the, you know, the community, the people's lives, how much they've changed. I can tell you even, you know, I've said this before, like in certain neighborhoods, you've got new people. You know, so it's not just the fire zone areas that have changed. It's communities across Los Angeles that now have, you know, new populations of people, roadways impacted, all those types of things. It's going to be a big challenge here for quite some time.
You know, some of these areas were affluent areas, but not all. And for the individuals who have some money, it's still incredibly devastating. You know, that the feelings, your belongings, that matters every bit as much, no matter what your wealth status is. But if you
go ahead. I do have to say, here in Los Angeles, too, you do have to, you know, I think about some of it is generational wealth, but it's people who fled Iran. you know, or fled other wars that were able to come over here and make something of themselves. So I don't think, you know, people think it's like, oh, it's celebrities, it's this, it's that. It's even some of the people who are quote unquote wealthy, you know, they're the ones who started thriving businesses that employed a lot of people, you know.
Yes, for sure.
I don't like playing that game of, you know, it's.
Yeah. And that wasn't where I was going. Part of what I was saying is I don't even know how those folks are automatically finding a place to stay if they have affluence, let alone others who saw their life turned upside down and don't have the automatic extra income to stay at the hotel for day after day after day, week after week after week. I don't know where so many of these people are living right now.
Well, I have to tell, well, some people are still staying with friends. I have a friend in Culver City who took in a family, and she, that family doesn't know when they're going to be getting out. The biggest problem we actually have here, and it's something that people should think about, is our rental population. So homeowners who have been able to file with their insurance companies and the county for certain aid, are able to take that aid and secure hotel rooms or temporary housing or a rental. And they're going to be looked at a lot of times by landlords as a more secure option to rent to because they did own a home, right? But with our rental population, a lot of people, they can't apply for the same types of things as the homeowner. They're not going to be getting lump sum payments from an insurance company. And now they're competing for housing with people who have lost their homes that they owned. So it's one of those things. It's every... Like I said, there's a ripple effect. Each facet of this, there's a ripple effect, too, you know?
For sure. And let me think about the folks who employ so many other people. And then the ripple effect it has on them. It just trickles down in just a myriad of ways.
Well, I can't tell you how many texts I've gotten from friends that said, hey, does anyone need a dog walker? Does anyone need a nanny? Does anyone need a, you know, a housekeeper? You know, because, you know, this person lost 5 clients. This person lost 12 clients. You know, I mean, it's, you're absolutely right. And I've witnessed that and been part of conversations firsthand about that.
Jamie Yukis is with us here on CCO on a Tuesday. Clearly, you have some political differences between the president and the governor.
You think?
And it seemed, just a little bit. But I will say this. It seems like Newsom has, since even with the visit and even when other governors have been more critical of Trump, that he's held back more. And I've wondered if this is just the tie to try to get money to California because Trump and Speaker Johnson were trying to tie this to voter ID and other issues. Where is that battle at? I don't even remember that being a part of the conversation in Congress. Maybe it's just caught up in so many other things, but how much conversation is taking place about that?
You know, to be honest, in the Los Angeles area, there's more conversation about the mayor's office and the Los Angeles Fire Department chief who lost her job. Like today she's, you know, in front of the city council trying to get her job back. There's some articles today about the mayor of what she knew, what her staff knew, in terms of, you know, she took that trip to Ghana. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of fixation, I think, locally on the local leaders, whereas, you know, when President Trump visited here, there was conversation about Governor Newsom because he met him at the airport. You know, he did the little, you know, they shook hands, smiled before the cameras, and Newsom was really at that time talking about how, you know, we all need to play ball if this is going to, you know, if we're going to get federal recovery assistance. So I'm sure it plays out. The interesting thing is, like this morning with doing a local morning show, the bigger headline this morning was that Governor Newsom has actually asked all state employees to be back in the office 4 days a week. So, which is, you know, interesting considering, you know, that's been a contentious issue in some political circles with Donald Trump, you know, asking federal employees to come back to the office full time. So, you know, there are little things like that, that it not just the fires, but, you know, people are going like, oh, interesting. Newsom kind of.
Sure.
Is that in alignment? Is that what, like.
Yeah.
What it is that kind of thing?
See, I think Newsom is playing the long game with Trump here. I really do. I think he's wary of the money. He doesn't want to get into all the back and forth. Now, if he runs, then he will. And God knows the way Trump's talking, he's might be running against him a little bit. What is the what's the perception in L.A. about Newsom and his push to get the state workers back?
You know, I have to be honest. Like, Newsom is just a polarizing figure, even in Los Angeles, even with it being a very Democratic area. And that's, I think that just speaks to kind of where we're at as a country when you saw what played out in the November elections. Even here locally in Los Angeles, if people pay attention to like the attorney's race here, the district attorney's race here, you know, where we now have Nathan Hochman and we had George Gascon, and Gascon was very, you know, was really releasing people from prisons and lessening sentences. And now Nathan Hochman is tough on crime. And I think when it comes to Newsom, you know, there are certain aspects that people really want his feet to be held to the fire and they want to see different action from him. And then there's other things that, you know, I think maybe where you think Newsom's playing the long game, I think there's some people who lean a little bit more conservatively who see it as a, you know, disingenuous, maybe.
Right.
Of Newsom, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Last thing, we haven't talked about your dog lately. How is your new dog?
Sydney? Sydney's the best. Really is the best. She's only, she's 11 pounds. I don't think she's going to get much bigger. She was the runt of the litter.
That's a tiny
dog. She is just like, she's a tiny dog. She's a Jack Russell, so she's got like the biggest personality. She's so sweet. She's like so lovable. We call her the mascot of the neighborhood now. Like everywhere we walk, people are yelling, Sydney. She just bounces when she walks. She's so happy. And I did post a story over the weekend. She loves on walks finding sticks and carrying them in her mouth. And like this weekend, she found a stick that was like 3 feet long. So this little 11-pound dog was carrying this 3-foot long stick, and it was hysterical. She's funny.
Dave, this is a dog owner who loves her dog because she's talking about the dog like it's unique that the dog likes to grab sticks. Like, apparently Jamie thinks Sydney is the only dog on the planet who picks sticks.
You gotta just see.
That's what I, Dave, is that what you heard?
Giant sticks, and she's 11 pounds. It's so funny.
Yeah. Dave, you know what Jamie told me last night? She wags her tail also when she's happy.
If her tail was 12 feet long, that would be funny, Chad. I think the stick image is humorous.
Yeah.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Exactly. All right. I'll see you on Friday or Saturday. Thank you.
Are you choosing or am I choosing?
We're flex. You pick. We're up to you. I liked your idea of starting to drink at 3:30 a.m. and then doing your show. That seems like the best
idea.
That
is not true. Not true. Fake news. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, you did put 3:30 a.m. initially and then you realized that.
No, I didn't. No, you just misread my text. It's fine.
Yeah, that's very fun.
Okay.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Jamie Yuccas, dog lover, and we love having her on right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Hey, Jamie should do this. In fact, there is a stretch lab in Jamie's hometown of Maple Grove. I've been to that one. Let's see. Stretch labs I visited. Maple Grove, Plymouth. Of course, Plymouth, my hometown. Well, not, excuse me, not my hometown. My town I live in. Golden Valley's my hometown. The Chanhassen one. Dave, you ever call Chanhassen Channy?
I don't, but many people go that way.
And then the one by Bidet Makoska. I thoroughly enjoy Stretch Lab. It was, I think it was like 2018 or 19, somewhere in there, where I started going to Stretch Lab because I was sick of not feeling right. I was sick of my lack of mobility. And Stretch Lab helps me every single time, including if I'm going to play a little golf or I'm going to play a little pickleball, I'm going to go for a walk, or just everyday activity. You're better if you go to Stretch Lab. They have trained specialists who work specifically with what your body needs, and you'll feel better once you walk out. How about right now, when you go to stretchlab.com, you can get half off your introductory stretch. I guarantee you, you will feel better. Don't wait. Stretchlab.com. We are going to talk plenty of Donald Trump and politics next hour, but news breaking, and we'll get into some of the comments that Zelensky offered up today in trying to appease the president. But Reuters is reporting that the U.S. and Ukraine will sign the minerals deal after all. And the president, according to Reuters, told advisors he wants to announce the agreement in his address to Congress Tuesday evening. This is, again, according to Reuters and three different sources tied to that. That will be notable news. Now, again, let's remember, with the minerals agreement, no other guarantees from the United States of America for any security to Ukraine. This is a one-way agreement benefiting us. And we're offering concessions that Ukraine must make. I want you to text me right now at 651-461-9226. One concession that Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Mike Waltz, J.D. Vance, any top brain wizard in the Trump administration has asked Russia, the country run by the KGB thug, the country that invaded Ukraine, the country that violated the ceasefire agreement, which was signed in 2019 when guess who was president? Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's 1,000% right when he said Crimea was invaded under Barack Obama. Donald Trump is 1,000% right when he said the latest invasion, really to try to take control of the entire country, happened under Joe Biden. But he's 1,000% wrong when he says there was no fighting under him. They were fighting until the ceasefire agreement. And they broke the ceasefire agreement, which is why Volodymyr Zelensky is saying, can we get some agreement from Russia? Seems like a fairly simple concept to me. So we'll continue on that. But I want to start with this and text away. If you're going to pay attention to the president tonight, when he addresses Congress, what do you want him to say? You can be the most passionate supporter, or you can be shaking your head every day that he's the president of the United States. But he's going to address the country tonight. It's up to you to decide if you want to consume it. We'll certainly talk about it tomorrow. In fact, Dean Phillips is going to start our show tomorrow to discuss it. What do you want to hear from the president tonight? We'll talk about that early next hour. Text now, 651-461-9226.